Okay, let's get into chapter one now. We'll go a little ways in it tonight. And if you have questions, as we go through it. This is why we're here, is to learn. And I'm glad to see the saints taking notes. I think it's marvelous that when I was in Kansas City, I took shorthand. I don't think I could know many characters today, but I took shorthand and took notes down. All right, chapter one is Israel Indicted, is the title. Israel Indicted. And the outline of the chapter is verse 1 is the introduction, and it's concerning the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Verses 2 to 6 is sin, God's charge against sin and against Judah and Jerusalem. Verses 7 to 15, the ruler's call to hear, and they're going to hear judgment. 7 to 15, the rulers will be called to hear judgment. Then verses 16 through 31, cleansing is to come, and of course his mercy comes along with that. And you can compare it with Romans 5, 12 to 21. All right, Isaiah, did we get all those? Isaiah lived nearly 3,000 years ago. Think of this. And he prophesied God's word, which had never yet been—it's never been exhausted. This word of God. We can never exhaust the word of God. It's so great, and the depths of it are unfathomable. We were speaking today about—you can read a scripture, and even though over the years you've read it, there's something else there that the Holy Spirit opens up to your heart. And it's like another gold mine, another nugget of gold that you found. And it's precious. We can never get to the bottom of this. In these Old Testament names that are given in the Old Testament, we have the deepest New Testament truths. And we can discern through the Holy Spirit what they mean. How they're applied in the New Testament. All right, the first verse reads the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, and these were kings of Judah. Now, I believe most of us know that after Solomon, and when Rehoboam became king, Rehoboam is Solomon's son, after that, the tribe of Jeroboam went north. Remember, they wouldn't listen to the counsel of the old man, and so they went north. In the 12th chapter of 1 Kings, we read of this division, and Jeroboam made two gold calves for these 10 tribes to worship. They went up to Dan and Bethel. In the 29th verse, he set one of these golden calves in Bethel, and another he set in Dan. And this thing, as we read, became a sin. This is 1 Kings 12, the 30th verse. This thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made their feast. He didn't follow the feast that the Lord gave, and they even stopped people from going down to Jerusalem to worship. So the 10 tribes were up north. The 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were down south. And it's interesting, I know when we studied Amos was from the south, Judah and Benjamin. But the Lord sent him up north to these 10 tribes. But you know, when he began preaching the word of God, you know what they told him? Go home. That's what they told him. We don't want to hear the word. You go back where you belong. But the Lord kept him up there, but he gave the word of the Lord. These 4 kings in the first verse were kings of Judah, the two tribes down south. Isaiah was the son of Amoz, and the meaning of his name is we're going to find, and we're going to turn to the verse, Psalms 27, 14. This is the meaning of his name. There's some precious things in there. 27:14. There's two meanings for his name, really. 27:14 in Psalms. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Strengthen is one of the meanings of his name. He shall strengthen. He shall strengthen. And then in some other scriptures we're going to read briefly, we have another meaning, and it's rendered courage. And these will be familiar. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, Deuteronomy 31, and we want verse 6, 7, and 23. 31 and verse 6, 7, and then verse 23. This is was spoken to Moses. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. These were Og and Sihon, the kings of the Amorites. For the Lord God, he it is that doth go with thee. He won't go behind you, he'll go with you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong. This is right before Moses went home. You know, he was buried. Joshua took the children of Israel on into the land. Joshua speaks of Christ in resurrection, where Moses is a type of the law. He could not go into the land of Canaan. So he tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with his people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And then down in verse 23, that's a precious chapter there. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge, and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Don't you love the positiveness of the Word of God? Yeah. I love it. And then over in Joshua, right next, the next book, we have Joshua 1 and verses 6, 7, and 9. I'm going to start up the second verse, because this is a precious portion. This is right before they went into the land. Joshua 1 and the third verse. Well, the second verse. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, you go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. That land belongs to them, even today. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now this spiritually is for us. We can step upon our inheritance, a step at a time, but we can walk by faith. We can claim our heavenly inheritance, and the Lord will give it to us, but it comes by faith. It doesn't come by works, but it comes by faith. All right, the sixth verse. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. He adds very courageous now. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper or deal wisely. I love that. Deal wisely is prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this is what the Lord enables us to do, to deal wisely in the things of God. And then in the ninth verse, have not I commanded thee, be strong. Again, he must have had to, here he wasn't a very old man really, but Joshua and who else were the two of that first generation that went into the land?
Caleb.
Yes. Just think of that. Of all those 2.5 million people that left, and only two of them went into the land. And it tells us a lot today, because Israel's a type of the church today, and a type of the church. He says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. And he doesn't want us. Fear is, and Timothy tells us, is of the devil. Neither be that thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Praise the Lord. So it's rendered courage in there. That's another meaning of Amos's name. So this name tells us that strength or courage is the evidence or the expression of faith, and it results in the salvation of Jehovah. Isn't that wonderful? It's courage and strength is the evidence of faith, and it results in the salvation of Jehovah. And here it will result in the salvation of Israel at the end time. Praise the Lord. All right. Do we have everything so far? All right. As we examine this book, which shows us things to come as well as things past, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. In John 16, we're told that He will lead and He will guide us into all truth. And there's marvelous truth in this book. I love that in John 16. When the Holy Spirit has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will never lead us into error. Never, never lead us into error. All right. I'm going to read the first 9 verses in Hebrew, in the poetry. And if you want to follow from the second verse, we'll read down, and then we'll be going back over this later. And I love this in the Hebrew poetry. From the second verse, "Hearken, O heavens, and listen, O earth." This is like a courtroom the Lord opens up here. It's Isaiah 1 and the second verse. "Hearken, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for 'tis Jehovah who's speaking. Children I've raised to maturity brought, but they have revolted against me. The ox knows his owner, the ass knows the crib that his master for him hath provided. But Israel knoweth me, no, not at all. My people doth not consider. Woe to the nations so full of gross sin." Isn't that terrible? "Woe to the guilt-laden people who are of the worst of ill-doers, the seed, children e'er acting corruptly. They have forsaken Jehovah their Lord, and Israel's Holy One scoffed at. Estranged from Him, they've gone backward. Why should you be stricken and stricken again? It will but increase your revoltings. Sick is the head, the whole heart is faint. From the foot sole to head's highest crowning, nothing within it is healthy. Its wounds and its stripes and its festering sores have neither been closed up nor bandaged, nor with a smooth ointment been soothed. Your country is desert, your cities are burned, your farmland by foemen so harried, it lies as a desert before you, brought to its ruin by foemen. And Salem, fair Salem, the daughter of Zion." And I want to stop here for a minute about Salem. Salem is the oldest name of Jerusalem. And you can read about it in Psalm 76:2. It's Salem means peace. And remember in Genesis, who was from Salem? Who?
Melchizedek.
He was the king of Salem. Isn't that precious? Mentioned in Genesis 14:8, and then in Hebrews 7:1-2. We just give you those. So Salem, fair Salem, the daughter of Zion, is left as a hut in a vineyard, as a lodge in the field of cucumbers, e'en as a city besieged, save that Jehovah of hosts, had left us a very small remnant. We had been like to Sodoma, it's called in the Hebrew. We had been like Gomorrah. So we're going to go back now and look at some of this. In the first verse, we have 4 kings. Uzziah, he reigned from 811 to 759 BC, or in other words, it was 52 years, my addition or subtraction's right. And Isaiah began his ministry, that's when the Lord called him in the 6th chapter, at the close of Uzziah's reign. And we're not going to turn to these scriptures. You can take your notes and go over this. We're told about him in 2 Kings 15, chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. And he's called Azariah there, but Azariah is Uzziah. Look at your Bible dictionaries out and we'll tell you this. And then in 2 Kings 14, verses 21 and 22, we have the account of Uzziah. All right, the next one is Jotham. And he reigned from 759 B.C. to 743 B.C. And I figured 16 years. 759 to 743. And his account of his reign is in 2 Kings 15, the fifth verse, and then verses 32 to 38. Then Ahaz, he's the most wicked of all the kings. He reigned from 743 to 728 B.C., 15 years. And that account is given in 2 Kings 16 and then in 2 Chronicles 28. Then Hezekiah, I love this man, he reigned from 728 to 699 B.C., or 29 years, and that's found in 2 Kings 18 to 20. Do we need to go over that again? Now, dates, when you come to Scripture, if they're not always, every commentator has maybe a little variation. They're not always the same. They're near, but not always just identical. So don't worry about that. Time with the Lord wasn't that important. And it isn't today. It's His purposes. And that's what He's after. All right, in the second verse, Isaiah here invokes the heavens and the earth to be a witness. And as we said, it's like a courtroom. And this is what Moses did in Deuteronomy 32:1. If you want to turn over there, Moses sang this song that he sang in Deuteronomy 32:1 when he was about to enter the land of Canaan. There's quite a harmony here between these two, 32:1 of Deuteronomy. Moses sings, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." And we could go on and read that. That's a beautiful song. But that's what all we're going to look at. But you notice the harmony there. Isaiah says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth." I love this. So in Deuteronomy, Moses sang it right before they went into the land of Canaan. Isaiah's message to Israel is when they are about to be spewed out of the land that God had given them because of their disobedience to Him. Quite a contrast. And if you look in your chronological dates at the top of your Bible, you can see there's quite a period of years that has transpired there. Israel's message is primarily to, Isaiah's message is primarily to Judah and Israel, but it's also spoken to every man that ever lived. Every man, whether individually and spiritually, it's spoken to us. So let's read a couple of scriptures, one in Romans 3:19. All scripture, remember, is given by the inspiration of God. Romans 3:19. Praise the Lord. The harmony of the Word of God is wonderful. And you know why it's in harmony? Because of same author. Holy Spirit wrote it. 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. That's part of Scripture. Then let's go over to 1 Corinthians 10:11. This is one we just had lately in our study of in Corinthians. And when we studied this, we thought the Holy Spirit brought to our minds of everything that all these individuals in the Old Testament went through. And you know what they went through for? You know why they went through it? For us. Think of what some of them went through. Look at Jonah. Look at Joseph. Every one of these went through some of those things for us. I thank the Lord for them. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. God knew at the end of all the ages we would need everything that's written back here in this word. Everything. Because we're going to go through some things yet before the Lord comes that we're going to need something out of this. And the Holy Spirit will take us back to what is written. It's not anything that anybody says, but it's what the Holy Spirit's written. And He'll take us to that to encourage our hearts, to give us the strength to go on, to overcome any obstacle that comes into our pathway. We're almost to the end of the race. The Lord's about to appear and to call us home, and we don't want to quit. We're going to go on. By the grace of God, we're going to go on until He comes. And as we know, it says there in Thessalonians that we'll be caught up. That word caught up means seized. We'll be seized out. And Glenn was talking today, you don't seize something until there's an imminent danger. Like if a train's coming, and you don't seize somebody until they're about to get run over. And this is so with the saints, the overcomers. He's going to take us out. We're not going to go through it by the grace of God. So Paul and Isaiah both put redemption through the blood of Jesus as the only way of deliverance from sin and unbelief. Only way. All right. In the second verse, he says, "Hear, O heavens," back in Isaiah, "and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children." The Father nourished these children of Israel. He brought them up. The American Standard Version in the margin says He made great and exalted. He elevated them to a peculiar privilege that no other nation ever had. He chose that nation out of all the nations of the world. He exalted them to this peculiar privilege that they had. Again, I want to read in Deuteronomy 14:1. You wouldn't need to turn if you don't, but these scriptures are so precious. 14:1 of Deuteronomy. "Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord your God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto Himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." He's called us too to be a peculiar people unto Him. See, this is all a picture. It's a type of each of God's people today that He wants. He wants us for Himself. But He says here, "They have rebelled against Me." Remember when they rebelled against Moses? But God says they aren't rebelling against you, they're rebelling against Me. This word rebel means to break away from just authority. Just like any person that doesn't want to be under authority, they will break away from it. Break away from just authority. In the Hebrew, as we read there in that translation, it means revolted. They revolted. That's what man's doing today, isn't he? Okay, let's go over to 1 Samuel 15. I believe this is what... 15:22-23. Remember, I think this is one of the most familiar. Of course, Saul being the first king, and God chose him, but the people wanted a king like the other nations, and God chose Saul. But he didn't obey the Lord. He didn't wait for Samuel to come, and he offered up an offering. He took the place of a priest, and he was not a priest. And in verse 22, Samuel told him, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." I like that verse. It was on our rules at Bible school. "For rebellion," notice this, "is as the sin of witchcraft." That's what rebellion is. And that's what man's doing today, is witchcraft. "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." That's a terrible picture, isn't it? So he says, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." So Saul was set aside. Now let's go to Psalms 107. We'll read these scriptures that are pertaining to this, how Israel revolted. Psalms 107, verses 10 and 11. See, the word is, isn't it precious how it harmonizes, and just different writers bring these accounts out. 107:10-11. "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron," and that's what Israel was, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord, of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. It's sad. They didn't listen. So, because of their rebellion. Then in Isaiah 63:10, we have another scripture. You know, it's a terrible thing to do, to rebel against God, to think, and man today thinks he knows more than God does, and, well, God just won't, this won't matter, you know, if I do this. But God means what he says, and man's going to find it out one of these days. 63:10 of Isaiah, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. What do we read in Paul's writings? Quench not fear. In other words, when he begins to work with you, don't stop him. Don't quench him. He may be doing something inside. Now, that, this isn't talking about outside demonstration of our body or dancing in the Spirit. This is talking about something the Holy Spirit wants to do within us, and something he's going to take us through to bring his work, finish his work in us. We don't want to quench that. Go through the trial. The Lord will take you through it. He'll be there with us, each one of us. So, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Isn't that sad? Well, he's going to fight against them again one of these days when all those nations come down. All right, back in Isaiah, the third verse. Any thoughts on any of this as we go through it? Questions? This is God's word. I tell you, I'd rather teach his word than any man's knowledge. This third verse, God engages in a little bit of sarcasm, and he says his people have behaved worse than the brute. Ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. The Lord was their owner, still is, and he was their master, and they belong to him, as we do. We're not our own, but we're bought with a price. But these animals recognize their owner and their master, but Israel didn't. Isn't that sad? This is a true. We watch the birds. God puts something in them and the animals. We don't know what it is, but they know when to go north. And some of them, we look on our bird, in our bird book, some of those birds fly clear up north, as far as they can go for in the summer. Those little creatures clear up in the northern Antarctica. How they do it? The marvel. When it begins to storm, storms coming on, the animals get restless. Our cattle, we notice this over the years. Didn't you notice this? The cattle get restless. Well, that's what they know what to do. The master's crib here is the word of God. He's our master. He's got a crib. You know the corn crib? Remember the grace and glory? That's the corn crib. Yeah. Want to eat? Just go there. This is our crib. This is a twofold relationship, owner and master, that we too need to remember and consider. I like that word consider. It means to separate mentally and distinguish the good from the bad. Remember Hebrews 5:14? Strong meat belongeth to them who are full age. I can't quote the rest of it. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use, that is, they use the word of righteousness. They have their senses exercised to what? Discern both good and evil. Isn't that wonderful? This is the only way we can discern, is by knowing the word of God. We know what the word says, and the enemy cannot lead us astray if we stay with the word of God. Praise the Lord. All right, this fourth verse, back in Isaiah, their guilt here is fourfold. It's a sinful nation, the first one, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, and children that are corruptors. We'll look at these separately. And it's set in contrast to what God purposed them to be. He calls them a sinful nation. This is in contrast to what he called them to be. What was that? A holy nation. Right. That's in Exodus 19:6. Then he says there are people laden with iniquity. Remember in Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. See, that's the same thing. Israel was heavy laden. In Isaiah 58:6, we read there the heavy burdens they were carrying. You know, they added, hundreds of laws to the Mosaic law. But this is in contrast to Deuteronomy 14:2, which we read a little bit ago. He called them to be a peculiar people and a holy nation. Praise the Lord. Doesn't the word thrill you? Praise the Lord. And then he says, you're a seed of evildoers. What a verdict this is. He called them to be the seed of Abraham. And here they're a seed of evildoers. Jesus said in Matthew 3:7, you're a generation of vipers. That's in contrast, as we said, to them being of the seed of Abraham. They call that in several places. Isaiah 41:8 being one of them. Then he says, your children that are corruptors, or you deal corruptly. Now this is one that spoke to my heart today in study. They caused ruin and they caused decay because they watered down God's word until it had no effect upon the people. Now let's go to Psalms 53:1. We're going to read two or three scriptures here. And it's sad to say that this is what is happening today among God's people. They're watering the word down. That's why, by the grace of God and his strength, he will continue to keep us proclaiming this word of God. Not get sidetracked. We're at the end. The Lord is finishing up the inside of the house. You know, when you have a house and you work, you can always see the work on the outside. See the roof going on, you can see the siding being put on. I mean, you can see that. But when you get inside and you begin putting up the cabinets and the molding and all that, you can't see it. But it's the finishing work. And that's what the Lord's doing today in each of us. It cannot be seen by man, but it's a work of faith that's going on within us. Praise the Lord. Psalms 53:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A lot of fools, aren't there? Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. That's quoted over there in Romans. Then let's go to Jeremiah. Isaiah, then Jeremiah 6:28. Praise the Lord. This is quite a scene. To turn it over. Okay, Jeremiah 6:28. It's a newspaper of today. It's a verdict. This nation, and of course the nation Israel, all nations. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. Now, how do we corrupt the word of God? Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 2:17. Man's doing it today, even among people that have heard the truth of the bride. Many are turning from it. We see it. They're turning from this truth. They're watering down Paul's gospel. 2 Corinthians 2:17. And it's sad, but it's happening. God told us it would happen. Paul says, for we are not as many, or as peddlers, which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. That's what the Lord reminds us of over and over and over and over again. We minister in his sight. We have one head, and that's Jesus Christ. We're accountable to him, first of all. He's the head of this assembly. I could say some things, but I'm not going to. But I learned many years ago that a minister in another place cannot run this meeting. Christ is the head of this meeting. There's needs in this meeting that no other minister knows about. We know the saints here. They don't know the saints here. Keep this in mind. Christ is our head. And if we listen to others and do what a man instead of the man, we will be corrupted because we have to listen to Christ Jesus. Adulterating the truth, this is what corrupt means, adulterating the truth in order to make dishonest gain, or hucksterizing is another meaning of that. Hucksterizing, hucksters. You know what a huckster does? What is a huckster? What'd you say? Sales, yeah. A what? See, they're dishonest. You know, years and years ago when this country was settled, they used to have, They'd these wagons come in and they'd sell snake water and they'd fool the people. Correct.
Yeah. That's what I think of when I think of touch.
The new life in us, but we have an old man that's very empty. So we need this word every day, because out of this world there are spirits of the enemy and they would want to turn us aside. So every day we have to have our minds renewed. Come back to scriptures that you learned and studied maybe before. Come back to them and see what the Holy Spirit can reveal to your heart that you never knew in that place. It's marvelous. That's why we go over these books over and over them. All right, this fourth verse, corruptors, and then the next one is they have forsaken the Lord their God. This is a threefold declaration that's given of the way Israel acted towards God. This last part. The first one is they have forsaken the Lord thy God. And they did this in their hearts. They had become evil in heart. They had relinquished their place of sonship. I'm going to read this. Let's go to Jeremiah. These are serious things. We can relinquish something that God has laid up for us in glory. And remember in the little letter to the Philadelphia assembly, you know what the Lord says there to that assembly? He says, hold fast what that thou hast, that no man take back. It's man that will take our crown. And we have to hold fast what we have of the truth. Don't let it go. Right. It's our old man. We've all got the same old man. Your old man isn't any different from mine. But he was put to death at Calvary. And this is why we have to count him dead every day. Put him in there. We have a dog, Toby. And it's kind of interesting. I take bones out to her once in a while. I took an old biscuit the other day. You know what she did? This does with these things. She takes them out and buries them. And then she goes later and digs them up and chews on them. This old rotten meat. But I'm going to tell you, we learned some spiritual things in this. Our old man, the dog's a type of the flesh in Scripture. Our old man can dig something up pretty dirty about somebody else. See, we learned some lessons from these. And we can, now all of us can do it if we don't judge our flesh. It can dig something up and chew on that and chew on that and chew on that. Instead of letting it go, counting that thing dead, it's in the past. Let it go. Yeah, that's true. All right, let's read Jeremiah 2:27. This is what they forsook the Lord, and notice what they did here in Jeremiah 2:27. Saying to a stalk, thou art my father. See, they forsook the Lord. They talked to this stock, this idol. They made an idol out of this stock. They said, thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. Isn't this true? Isn't this what man does? Saints do this. They go away from the Lord, walk against the truth. They get into trouble. Oh, pray for me. Pray for me. Let's go to Zechariah 7. These are practical truths. We've seen this so much over the years. Zechariah 7, verses 11 and 12. This is quite an indictment. We have our notes on Zechariah. Again, this is one of the books we love to get in print. 7, 11, and 12. 7th chapter, 11 and 12. Here's about at least four, I didn't count them all. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Remember that Timothy, they wanted their ears tickled. They didn't want to listen to the word of God. They wanted to listen to false things. Yea, they made their heart as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, the words which the Lord of hosts, there he is again, has sent in his spirit, his precious spirit, and by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. There he is again, the Lord of hosts. Isn't it marvelous? Jehovah Sabaoth. All right, let's finish these last two in this fourth verse. The second is they have provoked and that word provoked in my margin is despised, the Holy One of Israel unto anger. That's the whole one. Despised, or it means to mock or scorn or look down upon with contempt. Now that's a terrible. They looked down upon the Holy One of Israel with contempt. Isn't that terrible? Here they had sinned in speech. The first one was in their heart. This was, they had sinned in speech. And the whole, this title, the Holy One of Israel, is mentioned at least 25 times in the book of Isaiah. He was the Holy One. He was the one that would sanctify them and make them as he was holy. This is what he wants to do with us, isn't it? He says, be ye holy even as I am holy. He wants us to be holy. And in 1 John 3, we read there, he that purifies himself shall be holy, even as he is holy. So we do this. Then the last one here is they are gone away backward. This is being guilty in act or in action. They chose their own ways. Remember Lot? What he did? Same thing. He chose his own way. This, a lot of Christians do this. Lot was a righteous man. Moses then giving these lessons and what they have to do with him. Pull him out of the city. He didn't even want to leave. Let's go to Jeremiah 8, the 5th verse. This is why this nation Israel is in such trouble today. And their trouble isn't over. Jeremiah 8 and the 5th verse. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. In what book is it that called the backsliding heifer? Did you ever try to load a heifer? It's no fun. Well, this is what Israel was. Back, a heifer is a female calf. These are city folks. City folks. All right, let's go to Hosea. I believe that's where they're called this. Hosea 4, verse 16. Yes, here it is. 4:16 of Hosea. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. In other words, they took her head out of the yoke, is the thought there. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place, where animals will devour them. That's what he's going to do. Then in chapter 11 of Hosea, and the 7th verse. And my people are bent. This word bent literally is they are hung to it. They are hung to it, to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Isn't that sad? This is what they did. And then let's go to Proverbs. This is one of the, for me, one of the most precious. This is piece of his love toward his people in any age. Proverbs 4, and this is what we'll close with, is verses 10 through 19. This is the same love that's pleading with his people today. Proverbs 4:10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, or hindered, or made feeble. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Take hold it fast, like we quoted that scripture in Revelation. Let her not go. Keep her. Why? Because she is thy life. This is our life. If you have to sit down and study all afternoon, do it. If you need the strength of the Lord, sit down and study it. And the Lord will pour life into our vessels. Praise the Lord. And then he warns, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. He warns us. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't even go by it. Turn from it and pass away. Don't even let it entice us in any way. For they sleep not, these enticers, except they've done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. And that's what Satan wants. He wants the overcomers especially to fall. Because he does not want Jesus to have his bride. This is what he's after today, is the full overcomer. Those that, he's got those that aren't yielding to him, and he's got those that are not saved, but he wants those that are, have a heart for him. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But notice, I love it. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What a wonderful verse. We're going to close with that one. This is the love that he has for us. And we should be thankful that the Lord enables us to heed his word. It's not I, but it's Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that gets ahead of us, draws us on, and he gets behind us, and then he pushes us. He will not let us go. And that song we sang, love, that would not let me go, that brought my will, I was at, and brought me low. He will not let us go. Praise the Lord, he won't. He's going to take us all, right? Every one of us. We want the best, he'll give us the best. It's up to us. We let him do the choosing. We let him, we learn that he doeth all things well, whatever it is. We learn this, whatever it is. Praise the Lord. All right, any questions? Well, I will say, like I said before, we don't hurry through books. Fina remembers, was here when my mother was, and was lost for us. When my mother pastored and taught, and she would say, we may not pass this way again. And I think of the age that some of us are, we may not be able to teach the book. This book taught several other over several times. Who knows? The Lord may come. That would be just taken up. Don't have to go by way of the grave, but we'd get there sooner if we do. So either way, the Lord knows what's best.